Good morning, all. Going well? Excellent. Excellent. Great place to be and a wonderful opportunity. Thanks to our worship team once again. And appreciating the opportunity to slow down a bit. I don't know about you, but apparently that's what I need to do more often. So I've been told. But it's a wonderful place to do it as well, because as we slow down in a place such as this, there is a real possibility that the Lord will actually speak into our lives and minister to something that's very distinctly a part of who we are as individuals. And of course, that's part of his wonderful design. We're just listening there, particularly from the Exodus reading, about the tent of meeting. It's always been part of God's plan to have locations where our awareness or our capacity or our readiness to actually hear what he's speaking into our midst would be heightened. And so we have a gathering place such as this, a gathering place that is, complete. Can't see too many gaps in this building, and it's good to be gathered. So welcome, one and all. All right, my little technology bit, and we'll see how we go. Oh, yeah, there we go, too fast. Already? All right, there we go. You can remain in the light, and I'll work with the lighting process here. Now, I may be stepping out of line here. Please feel free to indicate at the end of the celebration. But I've got a sense of humour. And sometimes it matches the message, right? This morning, I like to think it does, all right? In the Monash Church of Christ, where we were previous to coming to Victor Harbour, one of the things that was happening was this awareness of safety, workplace health and safety, all right? Lots of things you need to give attention to. And so one of the people in our gathering had a sense of humour that was similar to mine. So they sent me this. So if I offend anybody, I apologise in advance. If you perhaps need a little encouragement in your sense of humour, that's good as well. All right. So these were awards that were presented to particular individuals for their approach to working in a safe fashion. Number 8, the construction site worker. So I've got to give you something visual to go with that. So that's the award-winning construction worker. He got 8th place. In 7th place, the weapons of mass destruction warehouse manager, and that was his work practice. That's good to hear you chuckling. That's really encouraging. 6th place was the car mechanics, and you can see the safety factors in each of these images. The electrician, this may require a little bit of background, but you can see that's a very, very safe practice. A metal ladder in water doing electrical work, sure-fired way. The installation team at the warehouse, and they did that extremely well. And number 3, the power cable installers, so they did that extremely well. I've worked in a place similar to that on a local farm recently. 2nd place was the aircraft mechanic, and number 1, 1st place is the city council maintenance team. Totally safe. And there was a special award for the shooting gallery assistant. So that was his... I'm encouraged. But of course, you know, and it is a match to our theme this morning, because within the gathering of God's people, we are looking for that, I suppose, almost tangible experience of knowing safety and well-being as we're setting about to do what the Lord's called us to do. So I'm going to start this morning particularly with a focus on the word work. And again, because it's a match to something I've been sharing with you now for
a number of weeks, and I just remind you of the script that we agreed to back in early May. And this was part of my script. Peter, you have been called by this church community to fulfill a special role of ministry among its participants. Will you endeavour to work with them as partners in the total ministry? My response was that with your assistance, I would certainly endeavour to do that. And then there was the second part where, again, the gathering was invited to stand and say, would you, as a community of God's people, acknowledging the call on my life, accept him as your minister, and in welcoming them, will you endeavour to work with them as partners in the total ministry? So as you can see, my highlighted word there is the word work. Now, for those who are listening, as it were, as the scriptures were read to us, and appreciating that often when we have a scripture reading, there's a whole lot of places at which we can connect with it and our minds perhaps start to run with it. What I've done is just halt at the very beginning of that Exodus passage where it talks about the fact that the work was complete as far as the tent of meeting was concerned. And it's always good when you get to a point of completion with a particular project because you can look back and sort of, there it is, it's complete. I attended the Life Celebration yesterday afternoon for Kevin Virgin. A bit like our Ken was involved in the building trade, and there was quite a story told of his building skills. And now, sadly, I missed part of the script that his son was sharing because I started thinking about the building projects that I was a part of. And I thought to myself, brilliant brickwork by Ken Collins, but who did the timber work, And got a little bit of an ego issue still. I don't mind driving around and saying to my wife, help build that. And the house is complete. There's people living in it. There's cars in the drive and all those types of things. So it's good to sort of look at a project and see that it's complete and know that the details that were a part of it and the part that you brought into the picture. And so I started, I suppose, all of those things spinning around inside of me and looking at this Old Testament passage thinking, wow, it's way back there. How might that picture of the tent of meeting way back 1500 BC or whatever be relevant for us? So I needed to do a bit of reading, as you would anticipate, because there wasn't enough sort of connection in my own thoughts. So I came across a model. I thought, that's helpful. Perhaps we could have a message time where we can bring in some sheep and goats and we could have a little building program and make a... I thought, no, that is going to take too much time. We won't do that. So perhaps I'll do a bit of reading. So I came across this book. Now, some of you, anybody recognise that name? Oh, good. I've got somebody who can keep me in check. I could sort of, if somebody else hasn't read it, you can sort of... Anyway, came across the book. This is one volume of about 300 that this gentleman wrote. And it was really, really good reading. In actual fact, it helped me take a shortcut. I didn't have to spend hours trying to work out what this particular article of clothing meant or what that pole meant or whatever, because this fella does it all for me on page 300 and whatever it was. And so I started to take notes. And then I suddenly thought, I might just do a double check on this fella. So I came across another book. You've got to keep upgrading, you see. And so I came across this book by this fella, Robert Young. He's got an amazing testimony. If you ever want to Google it, which is everybody's shortcut, you'll be pleased to know I didn't Google it. I actually went back to a document that I was familiar with. So anyway, I went back to this one. And this fella that was one of his books, where he got the Hebrew, which he had been self-taught in, and Greek, which he self-taught himself in, went through the whole Bible and brought into English terms what the Hebrew and the Greek meant. Must have had a bit of spare time, I reckon. And this book's getting heavy. He was apparently a bookbinder by trade when he first started. And so I grabbed out my book and I was selling a little bit of... Oh, look at this. Look at this. May 24th, 1973. It's a Peter Broadbent from the Collins family. Thanks, Ken. Thanks, Elva. Thanks, kids. This particular book has been really helpful for me because it saved me a lot of work. I didn't have to learn Hebrew because this young bloke did it for me. But then I suddenly realised he didn't save me a lot of work because I've still got to search it. You get my drift? I hope you can see a connection. Sometimes that's our approach to the Word of God. Somebody else has prepared it, but I've got to search it. Anyway, I just want to honour Ken again. Thanks for that. It's been a very, very special part of ministry and genuinely searching the Word, because I, for one, don't want to be taking on board what somebody else has worked out for themselves when really I really need to get into it myself and discover how my engaging the Word will actually minister to my soul, to minister to my mind and my spirit. So that was just a little aside, because I need to go back to this fellow, because he did. He helped me sort of accelerate the process of looking. So he helped me by mentioning these facts about that tent of meeting way back there. Okay, it was the Lord's design. Moses had been given a clear picture of the design. It was top quality materials, and I'm going through this quickly by design. There were skilled hands that were invested in it, many hands that were involved in it, and those hands were taught of the Lord. I invite you to read back through that passage and see that neat little term. The workers were hearty and zealous. Now, I do appreciate Mr. Henry and Mr. Young, but they do use English terms that I have to sort of look at and say, what does hearty and zealous mean? Well, basically means I enjoy, appreciate being a part of the project. And I, for one, enjoyed thoroughly being a part of the building trade. But I've also thoroughly enjoyed and continue to enjoy greatly the work of ministry. It's something I believe my heart is in, and I'm keen to discover things for myself, and I'm keen to discover things that maybe I can share with you to encourage you in your relationship with the Lord and the projects the Lord is taking you into as an individual, and also obviously what he's taking us into. And as we've shared that time of prayer this morning for the Leaders Forum retreat next weekend, that it would be a space in which we believe the Lord would sort of say, hey, look, I'm opening up this pathway for you. And there will be, as it were, a work to do. Of course, I'm not too sure. There's probably a few men in the room who, well, we probably all enjoy a project, don't we? We enjoy being a part of a project. So that particular, does it look a bit peculiar to you? You wonder what it is? That was one of the projects we had at Monash. Monash City Church of Christ, in many ways, similar to Victor Harbour. And it's a building, a similar seating capacity. It's got a hall at the back. It's got an area on the side. It's got another older dwelling next to it. And all that. It's very similar in the sense of complex-wise. And when we arrived at Monash, they were also working through sort of this great venture of, now, what's the Lord got for us as next? And soon it became apparent that it would be a children's ministry to begin with would be one of the growth aspects of the church. And I don't think it was my idea. I think it was somebody else's idea. Said, well, what about the area at the back of that old building next door? you know, because the kids, they like running space. So it was a great idea. So all we had to do was take out all the rubble that was there and reset this instant lawn. And I tell you, it was quite a get to the end of it. It was hot work, hard work, physical labour as such. And we finished the project. I couldn't find a photo of the team, but there was a lot of people involved, including some of the folk that you think, you know, energy-wise and age-wise, maybe it's not a good idea for them to be swinging the pick and all that type of thing. So we had the responsibility of holding the hose to water the lawn. But everybody was a part of it. And it was a bit of a treat for me. I'd come out at lunchtime and I'd come out of the back of the building, and I used to just love walking across the, instead of the hard rubble, nice soft green lawn. You know, it was lovely. But it was even better 2.5 years later to walk out and discover there's 20, 25 young families and their kids all herring around the backyard. Because the project the Lord's called us to is not the building as such, not the lawn as such. It's the people that will be in that territory. Mr. Henry hasn't finished. He's got a couple of other things that he would like to highlight for me and for us. The workers respected Moses' leadership. And that's an important part of acknowledging leadership within a community, that there is respect, there's recognition of the leadership that they are providing. And the project moved along at a good pace. In actual fact, it's quite astounding that the craftsmen and all those people involved in that project finished that particular portable, I need to highlight that as well, that's not a fixed structure. When the people of God moved, they would pack all that up according to a particular script in an order that was defined for them, and then they would move on. But the project was one that was complete. The structure was complete in 5 months. Didn't take us that long to do the lawns. But we then discovered the lawns are complete. The real project is the relational connecting. That took a little while longer. That took a different approach. And we discovered at Monash that in actual fact, it wasn't just a small team that needed to be a part of that work. It needed to be all of us. Relational connections. Particularly, obviously, our relationship with the Lord. Mr. Henry's final comment is that the workers were commended for their work and Moses commanded a blessing. And you look forward to that as well. Each one of us, as we work out our relationship with the Lord, that we discover there are points in which we are affirmed in the fact that our relationship is moving forward and we're completing, as it were, different stages of things that the Lord has prepared for us. And there is a blessing. There is a blessing that will actually take us further. Not just a sort of, here's a gold watch for services rendered, but a blessing that says, here's the extension, here's the continuity. Here's where I'm taking you now. As a part of the project that you've been a part of, here's the next space, here's the next dimension, here's the next. Now, I get that sort of concept from this passage in 2 Peter. Because the actual project that God's got going is not so much about tent pegs and joining brackets and things that go over the top and the layout of a building or anything like that. It's about a whole lot of people have got this amazing sense of connection that has got, it's really hard to define, but it happens as you meet people. Now, we were singing something a little bit earlier about the fact of us being family. Now, that's a beautiful image. It's a really good image. But I need to encourage people of faith that this is the higher image. Where the Lord speaks through Peter and says, hey, those people who've got a personal relationship with Jesus, you're a living brick. Well, that sounds pretty affirming, doesn't it? But you're a living stone designed to be, as it were, having this living connection with the person next to you because you've got a shared, singular living connection with the Lord Jesus. Now, here's where we start to work, because a greater percentage of people are thinking most of the time of tangible stuff. We're talking about physical projects. Let's put up a building. Let's extend the car park. Let's put lawn in the backyard or whatever. And the Lord's saying, that's cool. Little projects like that, but that's cool. And particularly if it's facilitating your spiritual connection with your Christian brother and sister. Can you understand what I'm saying? This is what the Lord wants to do. Now, I know for a fact I have to work at that, because I'm a doer, I'm a project person, and I made a pastoral visit the other day, and I was looking around this person's house, which unfortunately is a bit of a tendency I have, thinking, now there's a project, I've got the tools at home, I could fix that for you if you like. And I'd get nothing at all done as far as relationally at the church. That's cool. I would be having fun doing projects. You know, that's where my mind goes. Now, I'm not too sure about yours, but most of us would, with a certain amount of reflection, would recognize that most of the time we're thinking tangible. We're thinking human dimension. We're thinking, yeah, family's good, but can I see that actually a relationship with Jesus is essentially spiritual? Faith is a spiritual dynamic. Shall I go back to the humour? No. Not a good place to go back to now. Because this is the reality that this fella, Peter, now keep in mind, this is not me writing this, this is the Apostle Peter, the bloke who had all that really, really earthy approach to his relationship with Jesus, had to be shown, which he did by this most powerful encounter with the Lord Jesus after he denied him, came to see that actually this thing with Jesus is spiritual. And the very center of the life of the church is spiritual. Now, the challenge is to work it out. A project for you. And I'll borrow the words of Paul in Philippians 2, where he talks about working out our salvation. Can you see it there? Can you see the terminology there? Continue. Oh, I've got this neat. Look at this. I can actually point to where it is. Okay? Continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Now, very quickly, I want to deal with those terms there. Does anybody here sort of have perhaps inside of you this, I want to get it right? You have that sort of an idea? Not necessarily being a perfectionist, but I want to get it right. I want to get life right. And of course, we're doing that from a faith perspective. Hey, Father, God, I want to get it right. I want to know what your will is. Yeah, I want to know what the work project is. But basically, I want to get this relationship with you. I want to have it happening like it happened between you and Jesus. Just right. And that's what fear and trembling is. I want to get it right. It's not fear that says, can't go anywhere, might get it wrong. It's a fear and trembling that says, I want to get it right. So I'm prepared to, and again, I'm pausing here very deliberately. I haven't got to the Colossians passage yet, but don't panic. I'm going to pray a part of that at the end. All right? But here, this continue to work out. And that's one of the things I want to do with folk here at Victor Harbour Church of Christ. Continue to walk, to work out our relationship. I'm anticipating it's already happening, or it might be just about to start. That's always exciting, isn't it? Did you love the figures that Sue brought to us this morning? How many kids have gone through, and 1 million plus have actually come to faith? And I'm thinking, go for it, kids, work at it. Because the relationship is not instant. It starts in an instant. And then those little tackers of 6 and 7, I can bring you, my word for you, young fella, is 6-year-old, work it out, work it out. You've just started. Oldest person in the room here this morning, I won't name you, but let me say bluntly to you, you've just started. You know, I can put up my hand and say, I've been walking in the Lord for 50 years, and the word will say to me, keep going, because you've just started. Eternity, I understand, is pretty long. But you've just started. So I hope you can see my word for the day, the word that comes out of the word of God, the work side of things. I did. I went back to the book. Thanks, Mr. Young. I've got to put it down again. It's heavier than a brick, I'll tell you. And that word means, is the Greek word, energeia. Any idea sort of what word comes to mind when you see that? Oh, I love it. Energy. Lots of it. But hang on. Before you jump too far ahead, that does not mean just physical. I anticipate in 20 years' time, I'll have a walking frame. But I'm hoping, I'm trusting in the faithfulness of God, my energy levels will not drop. Because Paul there is talking about the energy that is a part of who you are, your identity in Jesus. It is a spiritual energy. But it also, it's not just spiritual. Oh, here he goes. He's just going off the ethereal stuff, the stuff. No, it's not. It's the totality of our identity in Jesus that says, I have spiritual energy that drives physical. It drives mental. It drives emotional. It drives everything of who I am. It's the energy package that is who you are. Now, I'm hoping you can understand that. Because we can get into this mode of thinking. You know, somebody actually asked me, as they heard that we'd accepted the invitation to Victaba, you're going to retire? I said, not likely. I've got energy, maybe not as much physical energy. I actually set about to do some gardening yesterday. I thought, I could only do it for an hour and I needed a coffee. That was just an excuse to have take Margie out for a coffee. But a spiritual energy, and I bring this into mind as well. The Apostle Paul says, I'm nearly at the finishing line, and you know what he was doing? He was not looking for his gopher. He was not looking for his working frame. He says, I'm going to hit that line running. That's what he said. Spiritual energy, Christ in me, the hope of glory. That's not some abstract thought. That's the bit that drives me. I want to be right. I want to be complete. I want to be as full as I can possibly be when I hit that. What if I had a heart attack now? Wouldn't that distress you? Not likely. Blood rate's good. But the point being, that is what we're on about in our relationship with Jesus. The tangible will be a part of that picture. The physical will be a part of that picture. But the drive will be the fire that's in the stone. The fire that's in your heart. The relationship you already have with the Lord Jesus, he says, work at it. You work at a relationship, what happens? Richness, depth, dynamic. That's what happens. Excuse me if I get a bit animated. It might be the jacket. Might not be. Hey, can I, this is nothing to do with it, so I won't mention it. Now, here's the other word. This is salvation. Paul says, work out your salvation. All right. Now, I've got to finish with this because it's after hour. Soteria is the Greek word for salvation. Now, salvation is a word that people can sometimes comprehend. But on this particular context, Paul is saying, work out your relationship with a real sense of safety, with a real sense of security, with a real sense of soundness. I work at my relationship with Margie out of the safety, the soundness, the security of our relationship. Paul is not saying here, work your little kneecaps off because then you'll be absolutely certain that you're right with God. No, he says, you're absolutely, thanks Clive, brilliant ministry. I hope you receive the ministry that was spoken through Clive this morning. I can't remember the exact terminology, but I know it just, it struck the depth. Words that translated the reality of a spiritual relationship that is possible through the Lord. So, this work bit, this energy bit, we operate it out of the security, the certainty, the soundness of our relationship with Jesus. Now, I had to bring a holiday shot at some stage, didn't I? No apologies. It came to mind straight away. That's the vessel we toured Alaska in, or the Inside Passage. Alaska, we had to actually get off the boat to go on land. That's the New Amsterdam. Unfortunately, that's the front of the boat. My illustration is in the back of the boat. As you'd know, when you sail at sea, and particularly if you're sort of out for a day on the water, so to speak, you need a bit of exercise. So they have this thing called the boardwalk, or whatever it is, level 3 it was on the New Amsterdam. And so I used to go walking, usually an hour or so before lunch, and then an hour or so after lunch, so as I could handle lunch. Food. Who needs it? Anyway, so I go walking around, and I've forgotten, I think you're supposed to go clockwise. Anti-clockwise, so as everybody's walking the same direction, and you don't run into somebody on the mobile phone. Texting them. Oh, sorry, didn't see you. So I'm walking around. Lovely scenery. Walking around, and I notice at the back of the boat, these electricians. It wasn't the electrician that we saw earlier. This one had basically the same equipment, had the ladder, the overalls, the toolkit, and the apprentice holding the ladder. And I thought, he's got a harness on. Hooked up to one of these really, significant part of the boat, this metal frame at the top. Clunk! Harnessed to the boat. I said, what do you need to be harnessed for? Well, I guess when I took about 5 more steps, I can see, it probably would be a good idea to have a harness. If you lost balance, it'd be out the back and... The point of that illustration is that as we work out our relationship with the Lord, we do it absolutely certain of the harness of God's grace. God's got a hold of your life, so go for it. I mentioned the Colossians passage. If you'd like to stand with me, it's a beautiful prayer that Paul had for the young church, the growing church, the church. And if you read the letter to Colossians, it's in that particular letter that you get this amazing picture of the life of Jesus. And I want to read that prayer. Please stand with me, and then we'll sing our final song, which I think talks about our oneness in the Spirit of God. One of the things he does give us is that sense, that real deep mind, emotional, spiritual sense. Hey, I'm right with God. I'm just totally, soundly, safely secured in that relationship with him. So this is the Apostle Paul with his partner. I'm not too sure who it was. At this particular time, had this shared prayer for the young community at Colossae. We pray that you'll live well for the Master, making him proud of... Oh, sorry, I need to explain. This is the Message version. All right, so I'll start again. That's a good reason to start again, isn't it? We pray that you'll live for the Master, making him proud of you as you work hard in his orchard. As you learn more and more how God works, you will learn how to do your work. We pray that you'll have the strength to stick it out over the long haul, not the grim strength of gritting your teeth, but the glory strength that God gives. It is strength that endures the unendurable and spills over into joy, thanking the Father who makes us strong enough to take part in everything bright and beautiful that He has for us. And so introduced the practice, and all of God's people said,